of the Lord. God, we praise you. God, we exalt you in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. In the name of the Lord. God, I praise you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Can we just take a moment? Amen. Just right where you're at. Would you just put up a hand? Just take a minute and magnify God. Don't worry about what's going on this week or this month. Amen. Don't worry about what's going on when you get home. Just take a minute and magnify the Lord. Amen. God, you're worthy. Amen. We magnify you. God, we exalt you. You are great and greatly to be praised. Blessed be the name of our God. Amen. Blessed be the name of our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We believe in God. We believe in the power of God. Amen. I believe Jesus is my Savior. Hallelujah. I believe He's a prayer answerer. He's a way maker in the name of the Lord. Amen. I believe He's a peace giver. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Blessed be the name of our God. Amen. God dwells in the midst of the praise of His people. Amen. It's a good thing to take a moment and just praise Him. Amen. God, let your presence dwell here. Amen. We invite you here. Hallelujah. We invite you now. Amen. Lift our faith, God. Strengthen our hearts and minds, I pray. Let the peace of God flow. I pray in the name of the Lord. You are the Prince of Peace. Amen. God, I praise you. Great God we serve. Praise God. Turn around to somebody next to you, shake the hand and say, man, I love having you in church. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Scripture's on the screen. Amen. God bless you. So much in the Word of God. I've learned that I can see the Word differently in different seasons of my life. Different things speak to me at different seasons. Sometimes in calamity, the Word of God speaks to me a certain way. And then I read that same verse at some other time in life, and something else will speak to me out of that verse. Amen. I'm very thankful for the Word of God, which speaks to me. And I believe the Word of God speaks to you. I believe God's Word will speak to you. Amen. I believe God will speak to you through the Word of God. If you open up your heart and let God do that, I believe God will do that in your life. Amen? Amen. Let's look together. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. It's near. This is an important point. It's rarely made a point in this verse, but I want to make this point. It's near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son. Now, Jacob's well was there. So they're at Jacob's well near Sychar, which is at the base of Mount Gerizim. Mount Gerizim, when Joshua came out and defeated Jericho and came against Ai, he took Israel to the Mount of Gerizim. And he said, okay, this day we're going to choose to serve the Lord. And there was a blessing and a cursing. And if you're going to follow God, you're going to be blessed. But if you don't follow God, there's negative consequences for not following God. There's positive consequences for following God, but there's negative consequences. It's called a blessing and a curse. And on this mountain, in the past, let's call it 5 years, they found a scroll, a silver scroll that had been folded up. And they've been trying to figure out how to unfold it without destroying it. And it comes from the age of Joshua. Okay? Science has determined that it comes from the age of Joshua. And so they've taken it and put it under a very powerful X-ray machine, and they've been able to X-ray each layer of this silver scroll. And on the silver scroll, it said, there's a blessing if you follow God, and there's a cursing if you don't follow God. And it said it in Hebrew, and I'm paraphrasing for sure, but the exact same kind of phrase that Joshua used on Mount Gerizim, we found a silver scroll that has a very similar statement, a blessing or a curse, that's been laying in the ground since Joshua's age. And they recently found it and have recently scanned it and figured out what it actually says. Mount Gerizim is where Joshua brought Israel to do the blessing and cursing. And that is right next to where Jacob's well was. It's a mountain nearby. To orient you, and you're not going to know these places in your mind. You're not going to be able to see them. But our friend who lives in Israel is attending Ariel University, which is on top of another mountain, and it's only a few miles away. So our friend who is in Israel lives just a few miles away from Jacob's well. So he is very close by where this event happened. Now, Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus spoke to her and said, give me drink. If you look back at the previous chapter, Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's been ministering, and he's drawing a crowd. He's becoming popular. And so the crowds are beginning to follow him. And the scripture actually makes this statement. It said the crowds are bigger following Jesus now than they were John the Baptist. And so he's become more popular, if I use the term. That's the way we look at it. He's more popular than John the Baptist. So this is a key moment when the script flips, and all of a sudden it's no longer John's a threat, but now Jesus is a threat to the status quo. And the scripture says Jesus decided, it's time for me to go. I've got to get out of Jerusalem, and I've got to go back to Galilee. I don't want these guys to get too worked up about me. I don't want them to get too upset. I don't want them to begin fighting me at this time. It's not time for them to pull swords. It's not time for them to execute me. So before they start getting that idea and they feel really threatened, I'm going to get out of here. And so he says, I must needs go through Samaria. There's only one thing that happens in Samaria that we can find in Scripture. There's only one thing. There's only one meeting place. There's only one person that he meets, and he goes through Samaria. And I want to talk about all that that means for us today. Would you pray with me that the Lord would help us today as we look at his word? God, I thank you for your great grace. I thank you, Lord, for your abundant, overwhelming mercy. What a great God we serve, who loves us so much. More than our mom, more than our dad, more than our best friend, our kids, our wives. God, you love us. I thank you for your great mercy, your great blessing by joining us here today. Help us, God, to be open to hear from you, I pray, in Jesus' great name. Everybody said amen. It's significant. There's always this conflict. And I realized in studying, I realized that I've always had a Jewish perspective on the Samaritan woman. I've always had a Jewish perspective on the Samaritan woman. And the Jewish perspective is that the Samaritans are not fully Jewish. They're half Jewish. And so they're part of the northern tribes of Israel that when Sennacherib came down from Assyria and overthrew them, they had left the faith and they'd set up their own temple. They set up a temple on the southern part of the northern tribes of Israel and then on the northern side of the northern tribes of Israel. And they created their own temple. And the Bible's really very clear. They hired lowlifes. They hired for priests lowlife men, men of low moral character. And they appointed them as priests at the temple on the south part of Judea, or the south part of what's now called Israel, and the northern part of Israel, which there was a line created. The northern tribes separated from the southern tribes, and the southern tribes from this point in history forward is now called Judah, and the north was called Israel during this segment of history. And so there was a dividing of the house. But the northern king said, you know what, we've got to set up our own places to worship. Otherwise, we're going to lose people. They're going to go down and worship at the temple, and they're not going to stay, their hearts are not going to stay with us. So what we need to do is come up with an alternative plan. We're going to create our own temples. We're going to hire our own priests. And then it doesn't take very long until that becomes the tradition of the north, that these are the places to worship, and these are where the temples are. And one of the temples that was set up on Gerizim, which I just told you, Joshua, when he came over, he came to the land that his dad gave him, and the Jacob's well was, and he stood up on top of the mountain, and the people gathered down around the sides and down at the bottom of the mountain so he can speak to them, and he tells them a blessing and a curse. And so when the northern tribes are setting up their thrones, or setting up their worship places, they're trying to find some place that they feel was spiritually significant. It had a spiritual impact. It spoke to them. And because it was Jacob's well, they thought, well, no greater than Jacob other than Abraham. So we're going to worship here by Jacob's well, where Joshua came in and worshiped. And so we're going to set this up as a place of worship. And so when the woman by the well, a little bit later in the conversation, says, you have an issue with where we worship. We worship on this mountain, and she literally is almost pointing to the mountain above Jacob's well. We worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that you worship down there in Jerusalem. And so really, the problem is, which property is the right property to worship at? We've got Jacob's well here. We've got Joseph promising curses and blessings right here on this mountain. We've got a place of worship right here on this mountain. And so the argument is about places to worship and expectations. This is what we expect should happen. This is how we believe it ought to happen. Now, the Samaritans had a tradition in their faith, in their belief system, that there was going to be a Messiah come. But it was an adjusted faith from what the Jews believed that were in Judah. And the half-Jews that were in Samaria, they believed in a flaming sword conqueror kind of leader, which some of the Jews in Judah believed in that kind of leader as well. But there was slight differences, and I don't want to get into all the detail, but I'm probably in over your head already. I'm trying not to be, trying to keep it as simple as possible. But we emphasize about the woman. And we emphasize the argument without explaining the argument. Why is there an argument? Why is she think? And she literally, from her perspective, this is family tradition. This is the way they worship. This is where they go to church. This is their church. And so why are you going to tell us that we need to go down to Jerusalem and worship when we can worship just as well at Mount Gerizim? They're both mountains. They're both spiritual locations. God did wonderful things at both locations. Why are you telling me that I've got to go? And Jesus never told her that she had to go down to Jerusalem. In fact, Jesus cut through all the baloney and said, there's coming a day when you're not going to worship on that mountain or this mountain. You're going to come and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is what he's literally saying. You're going to worship the Messiah. And it's going to change everything. Well, actually, the woman went to get a drink of water. She didn't come for a debate. She didn't come for a discussion. She came to get water. She came in the middle of the day. It's very likely, because of her background, that she came to avoid all the other women. Because there's no woman. I just got to say it. Women are the most critical people of women. Y'all look down your nose at other women. If they don't fit your category, they're not wearing the hair like you like it, the shoes don't match the skirt and the purse don't match the shoes, it's a problem. You know, I don't like that style. I don't like this, and I'm not sure I like that. And boy, if she lost 20 pounds, she'd look a whole lot better. I've heard women be terrible to women. Cut each other down, attack each other. I'm not saying in this church. Never has happened in this church. I'm talking about those other people out there. But we've never done that, right? Amen. You'd think the women in the church would go, amen. Even if the pastor's lying, I'm going to go ahead and say amen to that one. And we can be very critical. And ladies can be very critical of ladies, especially if it's a low moral lady. You don't want her talking to your husband. You don't want her hanging close. You want to protect what you've got, your relationship. She comes in the day where there are no women. There's a good reason for that. Do I need to pause and preach on that? Y'all look like I need to pause and preach on that. Amen. We really ought to be careful of our expectations. Now she brings her own expectations. I'm stuck on this. I apologize if I'm preaching about this, but I'm stuck on this idea. Because I think we all bring our expectations to church with us. And, well, this is, I think God's going to go this way, or I think the preacher's going to say some nice things, and then he's going to step on my toes, and I'm not really going to like that. And so I'm going to be upset if he steps on a particular toe that I've got, a particular hot-button issue that I don't like the preacher speaking about, and I'm going to listen carefully to see if the preacher steps on my hot-button issue so I can be upset. And I'm going to, you carry in expectations. And I don't know who in the room came to church and said, you know what, God's going to move today. My expectation is God's going to answer some prayer today. God's going to fight a battle today. God's going to win a victory in my life today. God's going to help me with my problem, with my situation. God's going to lead me out. Hey man, I'm in a trap and I need a way of escape. And God's going to help me with that. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm thinking about. That's what I was praying about walking around here yesterday. Hey man, that God's going to release somebody from some situation that they don't expect. They're not thinking God's going to do this. In fact, you may come in and think, I don't think even God could do this. But that's what we think. Do you know Jesus went to Nazareth and he couldn't do many mighty miracles? And it's really just a weird way to say it, but this is what the Bible actually says, except for a couple of miracles. Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus comes down and does a couple of notable miracles, I think that's a big day. I mean, Jesus comes in and a guy's in a wheelchair and all of a sudden he gets up and runs around the church and a blind person over on the other side of the church has their eyes opened up. Man, I'm going to be preaching for the rest of my life. What a grand day that was. But Jesus said he couldn't do very many miracles. Only a couple of blind, only a couple of lame were healed. What else was he going to do? Who else could he have healed? Who else could he have answered their prayer? And they would not. It wasn't that he would not. He was not saying, well, I don't like your attitude. I don't like the way you're looking at me. I don't think I'm going to do a miracle in your place because the way you've, the attitude you've got, the way you're carrying yourself, and I'm not going to do a miracle there. No, the Bible says because they would not believe. The onus is not upon the miracle giver. It's upon the miracle receiver. It's the miracle receiver's perspective on whether God can answer prayer or not answer prayer. You've got to say within you, I believe God can do that work in my life. I believe God can give me a new mind. I believe God can give me a new heart. I believe God can solve my situation. I believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask or think. But Nazareth couldn't have that because Nazareth refused to believe. Jesus comes to her, meets her at the well, and again, the only thing he went to do is meet this woman and her unexpected moment. Wow. Let me say, you came to church today. You don't expect God to have the answer. You don't expect God to heal that brokenness. You just don't expect that anything different is going to happen. It's going to be a regular weekend. The regular pastor's preaching. I've heard him before. It's okay. It's just going to be a normal Sunday, and we're going to, where do you want to go eat? How much longer does he have? Anybody want to go to Hacienda?
she would just throw in the towel and go to Hacienda right now. Just nothing else going to happen in church. Let's just all go to Hacienda. What's our expectation? I am getting a little hungry. I didn't have anything for breakfast. My blood sugar is going down. I think I'm going to do one of my mom's. I think if I don't get something to eat soon, I'm going to go blind. That's what my mom would tell when she'd get on the airplane. She'd tell the stewardesses, look, I'm a diabetic. If I don't get something to eat soon, I think I might go blind. And so the ladies would go in and heat her something up. And before the plane even backed away from the terminal, she could have bought something in the terminal, and she would get it, and they would bring her a little meal and set it down, and she would be the only one eating on the plane because they didn't want her to go blind. It's hilarious what people do. The woman, no expectation. In fact, that Jesus even spoke to her. She was so surprised. She could tell he's a religious guy. He's got his little tassels hanging out from under his clothing. Religious Jews wear that kind of stuff. And if we talk, he can be unclean. In his mind, he's unclean. But I'm the one who worships at this mountain. But he's going to call me unclean. And her expectation is, he's too righteous to speak to me. He would never alone. It was against the law. Literally. It was against the law. In a Jewish mind, that he would stand alone at a well and start a conversation with a woman, especially a woman who came alone. You've got to picture it. Just outside Sychar, where all the women come to the well, Jesus comes to the well, and his disciples, all of them go get bread. So he's there by himself. And he's sitting on the well, waiting on a woman. He came to wait upon a woman. He came to meet a woman. He came to speak to a woman. And I don't know if you know it. You ought to go back and look at the scriptures. He tells a woman about the Messiah. And she says, you know, I know there's a Messiah coming, and he's coming someday. And Jesus leans into her and says, I that speak to you am he. He never said that to anybody. He didn't say it in the temple. He didn't say it to his disciples. He didn't say it anywhere. He didn't say it at the cross. He didn't say it at the judgment. He didn't say it when they crucified him. He didn't say it anywhere. But he leans over to her and says, I'm telling you, I'm him. And I'm here to meet you. Well, they had this, mind if I don't do all the details, and this conversation. And he finally says, hey, go get your husband. You know, it'd be a little more modest if your husband's standing here. And I don't want to be immodest, so why don't you go get your husband? She tells half truth. She knows she's standing with somebody. And she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, well, ma'am, you're telling the truth. You don't have a husband, and the guy you're living with is not your husband. And actually, you've had five husbands. Now, if Jesus knew that and he was such a holy man, what was he doing talking to her? Who did he come to talk to? Who did he want to meet? Her. I'm telling you, amen, our expectation is, well, God wouldn't want somebody like me, or God wouldn't answer my prayer. You don't know who I am or where I've been or what I've gone through or what I've had to put up with, and you don't know the pain that I felt. You don't know the difficulties that I had. You don't know how hard my life has been or the things I've had to go through. You don't know what men have done to me. You don't know what my family have done to me. You don't know what women have done to me. You just don't understand, preacher. Amen. You're just preaching a sermon and you just don't understand. But I'm telling you, amen, about a man who understood. He knew exactly who she was, exactly what she had gone through. And the Bible doesn't tell us if her first husband died, her second husband felt sick and got ill, her third husband had some situation. We don't know what happened to all of her husbands. It's highly unusual that she has five. That's unusual in our day, in our society. It's highly unusual. Elizabeth Taylor, maybe. But not average. And I don't want to condemn her at all. Because she carried the expectation, listen to me, she carried the expectation of her society. She carried the expectation of all the people around her. Everybody around her kept that expectation. The Samaritans are over here, and the Jews are over there, and the Jews never go through Samaria. Literally, the Jews would go up, climb up a mountain, down a deep, steep slope through the valley of the shadow of death, down alongside Jericho to the Jordan River. They'd walk and up the Jordan River. In fact, oftentimes they would cross the Jordan River to stay out of the area of Samaritans. They'd cross over the Jordan River. They'd go up that side of the Jordan River all the way up to what's called the Decapolis and cross over just beneath the Sea of Galilee, and they'd cross back over, and then they'd be in the region of Galilee because they didn't even want to put foot in with those Galileans because they're so dirty. I'm not going to hang out with those kind of people. I'm not even going to walk through there. And yet Jesus said, I've got to go, and you might as well put it this way, I've got to go meet one woman who nobody would talk to, who nobody would expect, who she will not expect. What did you bring to church? What expectation did you bring? What do you think God can do with your life? If you met Jesus, what do you think he would do with your life? What do you think he would call you to? What do you think he would release you from? What do you think he could accomplish if he actually put all of his heart into rebuilding your life? And this woman who had no idea she was going to have an event, no understanding of what he was going to do or why he came or why he was speaking to her, doesn't understand any of it. After he says, look, go get your husband, and he has to explain all of those things. And he says, I'm he. This is what she does. Come see a man. that's told me everything. Come see a man. Look, you need to come see a man. I'm telling you, she went all over town. You need to see the man that I just met. You need to see the man that knows me. He talked to me about me. He knew everything I've ever done. And they thought, uh-oh. Did he tell about that time, you and I? Well, he knew that. He knew this, and he knew that, and he knew the other. And she put it in her terms. He knew everything about me. Amen. And yet he stood there and talked to me and told me, amen, all that I've ever done. And it's been a good thing that God has done that in my life. And I'm telling you, I think he might be the Messiah. Now, she didn't say he is the Messiah. She said, why don't you come out and find out for yourself? What do you think we do as church people? What do you think we do as church people? We tell people, I think God's able to help you. Why don't you come and find, why don't you come and find out what God can do in your life? Why don't you come and meet Jesus yourself? Why don't you have an experience with God yourself? Why don't you let God do what God wants to do in your life? I'm telling you, amen, we need to have the expectation that God's going to do the miraculous. We need to believe, amen, that God's going to answer prayer, that God's going to make a way. I want to see God heal bodies. I want to see God change lives. I want to see God. I want to see the Holy Ghost fall in somebody's life. I want to see somebody saved. Amen. I want to see somebody baptized in the name of the Lord. I want to see somebody have a life change because they believe. And they have an encounter. Amen. Their heart opens up. And they say, could it be that the Messiah has come for me? It isn't going to matter if I worship over there or over there. But he's calling. He's calling me. When the apostles went through Samaria just a year or two later, some places just wouldn't listen, wouldn't hear. But eventually, they go to Samaria to preach. And they're preaching after Pentecost. They go to Samaria. And before they're baptized, before they're full of the Holy Ghost, amen, while there's preaching, Samaria has faith. There's miracles in Samaria. People are healed. Blind eyes are opened in Samaria. I'm telling you, the work begins right here by the well with one woman and her testimony. Don't you think she went around one day and testified and shut up about it? She kept telling people, God can do great things. I believe I met the Messiah. I believe God's going to answer prayer. I believe the Messiah is showing up. Amen. I believe. And when they go to preach Samaria after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they say, let me tell you, the Messiah has come. They began to believe God, and the Bible says there was great joy in the city. My God, I'd love to have great joy in Elkhart, Indiana. Amen. The revival of the Holy Ghost falls. They did a study recently. They put probes on people's heads who spoke in tongues. And the scientists expected that when they put probes on their heads and began to measure brain waves while people were speaking in tongues, that their brains would be chaotic. Your brain waves would be firing hither, thither, and yon as you're speaking in tongues. And your head would light up like you're having a party inside your brain. And just things are going, and I mean, shake your thing. So they put stuff on them, and they said, okay, now we want you to begin to pray. We'll leave you alone in the room, and I want you to begin to pray. And the people would begin to pray, and then they'd get in prayer. And then they begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. And they forget about the doctors and the nurses. And they would just be praying in their own prayer language. And praying in the Holy Ghost. And the scientists back in the booth watched as people's brain waves went from chaotic to smooth. And they said, well, that only happens when someone's in deep peace, that all the chaos in their head. Has anybody ever carried chaos in your head? Okay. Some of you are lying. Some of you are lying. Letting the Holy Ghost move. They sent for Peter. They baptized them in Jesus' name. Peter and John lay hands on them, and they began to receive the Holy Ghost. They'd already had miracles. They'd already had signs. They already had wonders. They already believed. They were worshiping. There was great joy in Samaria because God was moving in their life. And they hadn't got the Holy Ghost yet. But when they put their hands up and the apostles began to lay hands on them and they began to pray, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. And it changes. And it changes. Something happens when we say, I believe God. God, I don't understand. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know why. But God, I'm just going to believe you. I believe, God, you're going to answer prayer. You're going to show up. Amen. You're going to fight my battle. You're going to make a way, God, where there is no way. I believe, God, amen, that you order my steps. Stand with me, would you? Amen. Something changes. Something changes. We stand often and take a few minutes to worship God. Music's coming, and we're going to have just a moment to worship God. But I'm amazed at the number of people that don't. I don't know if it's a misunderstanding. I don't know if you come with the expectation that worshiping Him maybe doesn't matter. It's not that important. It's just what you guys do. You guys do it as a tradition, and I don't like that tradition. If you only knew, we do it and meet the Lord. And God brings peace and joy. Peace in our mind, peace in our spirit, as we, you mean God can change my financial problems through worship?
Yeah.
God can change how you feel about it. God can change how you think about it. And God can answer prayer if you'll believe Him. Do you think God can heal your body? I'm telling you, I believe God can heal your body. I believe in a service like this, God can heal your body. Amen. Do you know that's going to happen? Of course I do. I believe God does. I wouldn't pray for you if I didn't believe God can heal your body. I wouldn't pray for you if I didn't believe God could heal your finances. I wouldn't pray for you if I didn't believe God would fill you with the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't pray for you if I didn't believe God could do all the things that His Word promised. Not because it's my promise, but it's His promise. Amen. And He is in the house. His presence is here. in the house. Bow your head with me. You may have come without expectation. And I'm simply preaching. Jesus stands at your well. Jesus stands in your presence. And through this preacher, he's leaning in to say, I'm he. I am the one you look for. I am the answer to your prayer. I'm the way maker. I'm the mountaintop. I'm the peaceful valley. I'm the lily of the valley. The Bible says, I'm the bright morning star. Think about all the things that God is. My Lord, what an awesome God we serve. Amen. And I don't know of anybody in the room wants to say yes to his spirit. To say yes, God, I want an answer. I want a way. I want, amen, a need. I want healing. The infilling of your spirit in my life. Right where you're at, let's take a minute. Would you pray for your expectation, that your expectation would open, would bloom? God, I believe you can do anything I need you to do. God, I believe that you're capable. God, I believe that you want to. God, I believe you want to open doors. God, I believe you want to make a way. God, I believe you want to give me peace. God, I believe you want to fill me with your spirit. God, I believe you want to accomplish what you say you want to accomplish in my life. I don't want my expectations to keep me from walking out free. God, I want to meet you at your expectation. God, at your miracle. In the name of Jesus Christ. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Amen. I feel like God's trying to talk to somebody. Amen. Would you just join hands with somebody right next to you? Let's just pray together right where we're at for a second. In the name of the Lord. Come on, let's begin to believe God with each other. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. In the name of the Lord. God, I pray that you would do that. I pray, God, that our hearts and minds would be open to you. God, that our expectations would be open to a greater move of God in my life that I've ever had before. God, I pray, let me take my walls down. God, let me take my fear down. Amen. Let me take my unbelief off my throne. I pray in the name of the Lord, God, that you would help us, amen, to unseat our doubt, to unseat, God, our fear. In the name of the Lord, let the Lord reign in our hearts. Amen. Make our spirit alive, I pray. In the name of Jesus. God, I praise you. God, I praise you. Amen. I magnify the Lord. Amen. God, you are God and I am not. Amen. God, you have a greater purpose in my life than I realize. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. God, I praise you. I magnify you.
Amen. I exalt you, oh God, in the name of the Lord. God, I need you to do that in my life. God, I need you to answer my prayer. I need you, God, to make a way where there is no way. Help my unbelief, God. Give me belief, God. Let my faith grow. I pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Doesn't matter other people's expectations. What is your heart going to believe God for? Amen. Doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. Doesn't matter what everybody else says. Amen. It matters what He says. It matters that He speaks to your life. It matters that He's here for you. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Amen. I have to open up the altar. I have to say to you, amen, would you take a step of faith? Amen. Would you get out and say, God, I want that. God, I want your way, not my way. God, I want you to clear a highway through my heart and my mind. God, begin to do a work in and through me. Amen. Not me, myself, God. Amen. Let me lay aside my expectation. Let me